go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. It is a minute and a half past the hour. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And yes, as the shout announced, it is indeed Friday. Friday, the first day of September 2017. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Let's get that out of the way right quick. We begin a brand new month. I have happy news to report at the very end. Thank you very kindly. We did, in fact, lick the Lithuanian and nudge the Norsky. And you may recall from last week, the cash the check challenge. Well, I have been informed kindly by Sylvia that that's being added into the mix for the end of every month. If it turns out that we meet the fundraising goals, then not only will we lick the Lithuanian and nudge the Norsky, we will also cash a check. So that adds further incentive for us to get everything, meet all the fundraising goals. Big thanks go out to our subscribers, sustaining who just set it and forget it, and help us keep things going over the course of every given month. Thanks very kindly to Anne Marie in Louisiana. Thank you very kindly. As well as to David in Florida. Thank you to our buddies at Home Dirt in North Carolina, and to Brock in Pennsylvania. Thank you, Brock. Thanks to Lauren in Alberta. Thank you. And thank you as well to Vernon in California. And thanks also of course, to Peter in Texas. Thank you very, very much indeed. Thank you to Scott and Punky, who jumped in here on the first of the month. And thank you as well. I'm just going through the list here. Thank you as well to Cecilia. So it is the first of the month, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I'll be honest; I rather enjoyed the last couple of nights not talking much about fundraising. It was nice, but it is the first of the month, and Shirley's Memorial Challenge is on the table, and that means if we can raise $200 this evening, it will be matched, courtesy of Labor Man and two previous other commitments. It will be, and so we will be off to a roaring start for the beginning of the month of September. We just need to raise $200, and it gets doubled this evening. And given that I know people know how things work, so I'm going to go ahead and count Cecilia and Scott in there because, you know, they know what happens at the first of the month. So that's actually $170 to raise this evening. 10 at 17, 17 at 10, 2 at 85, 4 at 42.50, 8 at 21 and a quarter. Yeah, oh boy, 21 and a quarter. Never mind. But that's where that stands, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it because it was a refreshing couple of days, and I wish I could figure out a way to not do that. Well, there is a way, and that is to jump in with the rest of the subscription crew, and set it and forget it. If you want to, just go to headonradionetwork.com. Click on the Contribute tab, click the little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation, fill in the field, set it, forget it, done. And remember, there are bumper stickers going out to every subscriber. If it turns out I've done slews of them, but people come in, people go out. If you haven't gotten yours, let me know. And we're gonna do another stack of them because beginning today, the Patreon subscribers, their subscriptions kick in. We haven't seen them yet, but that happens supposedly on the first of the month, so it remains to be seen. But I'll be getting, Agnes is going to help. We'll be getting all of those out as well. Remember, you kick in $10 a month, you get the horn bumper sticker. You kick in $20 a month, you get both bumper stickers, which is really cool. The horn bumper sticker and the They Want It All Unique to the Horn bumper sticker designed by our buddy Scott in Sweden. Okay. So just make sure, you know, and there are some subscribers for whom I don't have an address. So just make sure I've got all of that and it'll be make things considerably simpler. So that's where we find ourselves this evening. A couple of program notes. Namely, one, this program will be live Monday, which is a holiday, and I don't know how much live broadcasting there will be this coming Monday, but this program will be live this coming Monday. If you're out at the grill or something, you know, for Labor Day, turn on TuneIn Radio and just listen, you know, have it playing there and, you know, run off your friends and neighbors and that kind of thing. Sure. But we'll be live. And this evening's program is shorter than usual. This evening's program will be 2 hours because I got a call from the North Georgia Mountains, and I'll be filling in for Mike Malloy at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and going from 9 to 11. So that means, you know how it goes when I fill in for Mike and Kathy. That means that I have to shut down at 8 so that we can retool everything for the 9 o'clock broadcast. Okay? So that means, I mean, that doesn't change the fact that this is Friday on the front porch. Just doing many things at one time. So, yeah, we're going to do Friday on the front porch, and what I'm going to suggest is that we get that started, because I love, and we had, oh my goodness gracious, we had a Jim Dandy. We had a Jim Dandy Friday on the front porch last week, rousing all over the place. And I'd love to have another one. So I'm going to go ahead and say that as I go into a couple of stories here and there, I'm going to go ahead and suggest that if you want to join in on Friday on the front porch, go ahead and reach out via Skype and reach out via Skype and connect, and then as more people join in, I'll pull the group together, and then, you know, hopefully we'll have a good solid hour and a half or so of roundtable conversation. Okay? So that's Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. Remember, we can't use the regular phone number. It's strictly Skype for Friday on the Front Porch. Okay? And, of course, as you, the usual applies, if you'd like to be part of the Madcap Multimedia real-time extravaganza that's the Horn Chat Room, well, click on Chat Room over at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and hop in, where you will be immediately greeted by Anatole and Earther and Jug of Punch and Laborman and Silent R. Lamar and Squeaky and V.T. Blom, all capably moderated by a longtime, midweek utility pinch hit chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Okay, I think that's all of the housekeeping, and only 11 minutes done out of the program. Yay. I thought it would be appropriate, given the time that went into the topic last night, or yesterday evening, maybe it was yesterday afternoon, could have been earlier this morning, depending on where, wherever you are on this little planet of ours. But we had considerable discussion in the previous episode. hi, Earther. About the miraculous exploding chemical plant in Crosby, Texas. Well, I guess the headline that I saw as I prepared for the program this evening was meant to be reassuring. And at first, I was like, phew. Dodged one. Because the headline via Reuters says, Arkema says fire at Crosby, Texas plant has burned out. So, good. That means that we don't have to worry about people breathing God only knows what kind of toxins in the form of particulates coming from a hydrocarbon peroxide fire, right? Good. It's over. Done. One less thing to worry about, right? Yeah, that'll learn me some. Because then I read the actual article. Damn it. Really doesn't jibe with the headline. Reuters reporting about 4 hours ago, the fire at global chemical company Arkema's hurricane-flooded plant in Crosby, Texas, has, largely burned itself out, and there currently are no other blazes. Wait a minute. Sounds like we're kind of creating a little, maybe a little bit of a verbal fire break there. Yep. Now remember, the headline is, Arkema says fire at Crosby, Texas plant has burned out. The fire at global chemical company Arkema's hurricane-flooded plant in Crosby, Texas, has largely burned itself out, and there are currently no other blazes, comma. Although, more are likely in the coming days, company executives said on Friday. Oops. Gosh, what kind of chemicals? I don't know. Don't have to tell you. State government in Texas exempts people like Arkema from having to tell people what sort of community-killing chemicals they're storing on their site. It probably because Muslims. Here's the quote from Richard Renard. Now, what mother does that to her little baby? Ah, Madame Renard, you have a healthy baby boy. What shall you call him?
Ah, we shall call him Richard. Ah, yes, Richard Renard. No one will beat him up in the schoolyard for that, for certain.
No. According to Richard Renard, head of an Arkema business unit, in a conference call with journalists, he said, "We understand that the fire has substantially burned itself out." They understand that. They don't really know it. They just understand it. Somebody told somebody who told somebody who passed it along who has a cousin who I don't know, it's probably via flyover information. And maybe the fact that there's no more thick, greasy, oily, black, particulate-laden, human-poisoning smoke coming out of the plant. We understand that the fire has substantially burned itself out. And damned adverbs. Substantially burned itself out. You know, there's a big difference, adverb-wise, between substantially and entirely. Emergency response officials are remotely monitoring. What? They got Gene Dixon or something out of the grave? Edgar Casey has got a hand to one temple and dreaming the fire, you know, from the great beyond? They called the Psychic Friends Network? Emergency response officials are remotely monitoring to understand where we are. See, they're not knowing where we are. They're understanding. Well, where Richard Renard probably is beyond the reach of the long arm of the law. He understands where he is. To understand where we are, and as of this moment, we do not have any additional fires at the plant. Those little dependent clauses. As of this moment, not speaking about the next moment or some moments, maybe a few hours in the future, but as of this moment, we do not have any additional fires at the plant. Close quotes. Company executives say additional chemicals stored in 8 other trailers at the plant, are likely to catch fire in the coming days. The chemicals have to be cooled to keep from burning, but the plant lost power during the flood. Well, how about that? So, let's see if we can understand, because, you know, that's what it's all about here, is understanding. Let's see if we can understand what exactly Arkema's Richard Renard actually said. What he actually said is, one fire's mostly out. We didn't put it out. It pretty much burned itself out. It consumed everything that could be consumed and you know, turned into smoke that blew God knows where on God knows whom. But, and I can under, I don't know, would this have been a substantially different story if the headline had read, "Arkema says there will be more fires"? Because that strikes me as being the actual news in this story. Because it's kind of that's the central concern. I mean, the fire has largely burned itself out. Yay, you get a trophy. You want a hamburger? But when you look, and this is, it's kind of halfway a journalism thing, but the other half is corporate communication and information manipulation. So you don't have to be all Alex Jones, to look at this and think, and of course, Alex Jones would never even cover a story like this. because I'm sure the hydrocarbon peroxides that spontaneously combusted when their temperatures rose above their refrigeration temperatures, yeah, he'd never report on something like that. Unless it could be a false flag. It's a false flag that was planted by anti-chemical industry agitators to keep us from being able to be free to breathe particulate matter from self-combusting materials.
Right.
I don't like where I have to go in my brain when I think when I try to come up with the Alex Jones approach to a story. Because generally, to come up with the Alex Jones approach to a story, the first thing you have to do is stick your head up your own ass. So some of this is on Reuters, and some of this is on Arkema. Like I said, the headline should probably have said, Arkema says more explosions expected at Crosby, Texas plant. Subheadline, company still will not tell anybody what it is that may explode. Because there are giveaways in this story. The other stuff that's going to explode is apparently not hydrocarbon peroxides, which were creepy and scary enough. Anything that just catches fire the minute that it rises above a certain temperature, that is not exactly, one of those standard Earth temperatures in a temperate to, a zone like Houston, the Texas Gulf Coast. I mean, that stuff's, worrisome. Because generally things don't spontaneously combust. Unless they're dangerous. If you remember your high school chemistry. Sodium. Sodium has to be stored, it can be room temperature, but it has to be stored in oil because the minute it comes in contact with air, boom. Pure sodium. Well, that's not the case here. It's the minute that it rises to the temperatures that usually obtain in a place like Houston, Texas. This stuff has to be kept refrigerated, or boom, or blaze, or bursts into flame. And I'm not trying to be anti-science here. That's not my point. These things serve a purpose. The hydrocarbon peroxides are used in plastic processes in making things like countertops. And, who doesn't like countertops? But we don't know. And the public, I submit, has a right to know. Especially people who live near the plant, what it is that their good corporate neighbors are storing on site. And because of the language of the reporting, additional chemicals, that means not hydrocarbon peroxides, so it only leaves us wondering. We don't know, and they're not telling. We don't know if it's more explosive and more toxic. We just don't know. We don't know if maybe the evacuation zone should be expanded. 8 trailers, huh? Wonder what kind of trailers. I mean, is it a single wide, or is it a double wide, or does it have those cathedral ceilings? Is there a hot tub? Is it one of those short little U-Haul trailers? Is it one of the really long ones, like maybe that you transport a NASCAR racing vehicle in? Trailers. It just says trailers. If I lived in Crosby, Texas, I would still be kind of nervous. No, I'd be a lot nervous. because these people have not exactly shown themselves to be good corporate neighbors and not shown themselves to be trustworthy. I just got a note from Clarence. Subject line, Harvey Remnants. Bob, I'm parked at a truck stop on I-75 in Florence, Kentucky. I know where it is. Just south of Cincinnati. The remnants from Storm Harvey are still pouring water on Mother Earth. I'm wondering how many gallons of water have been dropped by this storm. The last I checked, Clarence, the discrete scientific term is a whole lot. And Harvey apparently still had plenty to share even after it was done pouring 50-plus inches of rain on Houston and putting 6 feet of water inside the Arkema plant there in Crosby, which we recall from last night they said they could never have anticipated would ever be there. Right? Right. But there's no, it absolutely poured in and around the Nashville area. It poured in the Tennessee Valley last night. And when I woke up this morning to indulge my filthy little habit, we know what that is. The rain was pattering rather insistently on my metal roof here. Mm-hmm. And more rain is expected. We're even being told in some reporting that West Virginia could receive its own little dose of Harvey flooding. Which, I might add, West Virginia desperately does not need. Kentucky got pounded overnight. Like I said, Tennessee, the Tennessee Valley, parts of Alabama. This little bastard sucked up a lot of moisture. Of course, I guess that's going to happen when the area of the Gulf where it formed was the water was north of 80 degrees. So I guess we'll just have to go into the long Labor Day weekend and keep a close watch maybe set up an alert for Arkema and see if they ever get around to telling us just what it is that's in those 8 trailers that are probably going to explode. How forcefully will they explode? What are the trailers made of? When the 8 trailers explode, is there a risk of flying shrapnel? I'm not trying to be alarmist here. These are just questions that people deserve to have an answer to. Is it going to be a great big humongous 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 story fireball? Is the whole area going to be... look, it's a chemical plant, okay? We've got history that we can look to for things like chemical plants gone bad and chemical companies that weren't particularly good neighbors and didn't do a lot to warn people. When was that? It was a while back, but I've got a feeling a lot of people haven't forgotten it. Oh yeah, from the second to the 3rd of December of 1984, in a little place called Bhopal in India, in Madhya Pradesh province or state, I don't know how they designate it. In that time span, over 500,000 people were exposed to a little something called methyl isocyanate. It was a gas, other chemicals got loose too. And the official immediate death toll from that was 2,259. Later on, the government of Madhya Pradesh said there was about 3,787 deaths from the gas release. In 2006, because the investigation continues and not a single person from Union Carbide has ever been punished, to the best of my knowledge, in 2006, the Indian government said that the leak caused 558,125 injuries. Now, these aren't just the deaths. There were 3,900 severely and permanently disabling injuries. There were 38,478 temporary partial injuries. And by other estimates, about 8,000 died within 2 weeks of Union Carbide's little accident. And it all happened, at least according to one theory, when water backflowed through a pipe into a methyl isocyanate tank. And gas. And Union Carbide, of course, largely got away scot-free. Not to say for sure that that's what's going to happen or that there's any even risk of that happening in Crosby, Texas. But it would be but it would be awfully damn nice to know if, in fact, something as deadly as methyl isocyanate was stored on site. I worry about these things because after Bhopal, for a very long time, the only place in the world where methyl isocyanate was stored was where? Well, of course, West Virginia. Right next to West Virginia's historically black college, West Virginia State. Naturally. But with Arkema and with the laws of the state of Texas, who knows what's in those 8 trailers? I'm not saying this because I hate the chemical industry. Chemistry is fascinating. And there are amazing processes at work. But you know what? When you're living in the tail end of the second decade of the 21st century of the common era, and people have been talking about climate change for a very long time, and you have the nerve to walk out and stand in front of a microphone and say, nobody could anticipate there would be 6 feet of floodwater in our plant when when your plant is on the Gulf Coast in hurricane country. Well, is it just me, or is that a little less than inspiring? Trailers? Trailers what? The chemicals didn't have permanent homes? Why are they in trailers? Why were the backup generators in such places that they could fail in a 6-foot flood? Or was it just a matter of there was no way to get them fueled, and eventually they're going to run out of fuel, and then everything's going to go pop? I don't know. As Clarity points out, sometimes you get stuck with your zipper halfway up and you can't get out your fire hose to douse the blaze. Clarity pointing out, them commies in California have a right to know what they're breathing, drinking, and so does the Muslims that can read a toxic sheet. Of course, it's top secret in Texas where them Muslims are out of the loop. And so are the Christians. Even Joel Osteen is out of the loop.
I hate squishy journalism like this. The one part of the story that should be the lead and should probably be in all caps and in bold and underlined and italicized, 8 trailers likely to explode over the weekend, third paragraph. After the official weasel word response of good old Richard Renard. Jules with a note. Response to sitting at truck stops because of Harvey. I spent the last night and most of the morning afternoon moving on and off of I-65 with 2 Newfies and a Border Collie German Shepherd mix trying to make it back from the greater Nashville area to Indiana. I actually followed the damn storm up through to Indy and then finally just decided to stop to visit with friends and dry off a bit. Going to head back to the fort soon and I'm really looking forward to home. I can imagine. I can well imagine. We got caught in a nasty little cell on the way from Northwest Alabama down to Mobile a couple of weeks ago, and it was just tracking eastward from Meridian, Mississippi, right across where we were. And I looked at Agnes and I said, "You know, this is the kind of rain you get in a hurricane." She said, "I don't want to see a hurricane." I said, "Don't blame you." It's not something you'll soon forget. So we've got that story, and the problem with that story is that it's all question and very little story. And it's 23 minutes before the hour, and if you would like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of discussion time, then right now is the time. Go ahead and make contact Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype if you've never participated before and you'd like to participate and you've never sent me a contact request, then send me a contact request on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D. And a reminder, Shirley's Memorial Challenge in memory of our dear friend Bruce is on the table this evening, and a chance to get out in front of the month of September a little bit. There's a $200 challenge on the table, and if we raise $200, the $200 doubles it. Okay. Thanks, everybody. All right. Well, we got a couple of folks hanging out for Friday on the Front Porch, and I don't want to just leave them sitting around. Hey, Steve from Georgia Stan, how are you?
Hey, Bob, how you doing, buddy?
I'm sorry the program's going to get cut short, but I wanted to make sure we got some conversation in.
Oh, yeah, you got me working a double tonight, I see. I'm going to have to talk to my union rep about this, you know.
Yeah, I'd get hold of the shop steward if I were you. This is intolerable. This is unbearable.
These conditions. Hey, but from what I understand, what's leaking out there is peroxide. Now, that sounds benign, but
No. That's not. Let's stop there. That's what I was just talking about.
Right.
What they were talking about. What they were talking about catching fire yesterday were peroxides, but it's not like H2O2, which is hydrogen peroxide. These are hydrocarbon peroxides.
So it's not like the kind you pour on a
no.
wound.
No. No.
And this is industrial peroxide.
Well, these are peroxides, which are, you know, it's just two oxygen atoms, like H2O2. It's two oxygen atoms, and they're organics, which mean that they're bound up with some carbon in there somewhere along the way, and it's not good for you.
Yeah, I hear folks are having all kind of breathing disorders, and it's just a mess. And you probably will get a taste of Harvey. We got it today. It was, I don't know if any touched down or not, but it was spawning mini tornadoes in the ATL.
Well, we got a taste of it. It was pouring down rain this morning.
Yep. Yep. My phone started screaming at me, tornado alert, tornado alert. All it takes is one of those feeder bands to come whipping through, and it'll spin them off. So that's a lot of fun. And there's something else brewing that looks like it could hit the East Coast or maybe even go into the Gulf. Have you seen it? It's at a 3 right now.
Yeah, Irma. And Irma. By next week, we'll probably very likely be a 4.
Yeah, and right now it's projected that looks like it's going to hit Florida. It could go up the East Coast. They don't know this far out. You know, they just don't really know.
But if it does make it to 4, it'll be history making, Steve, because never before in recorded history have 2 Category 4 storms hit the United States in the same hurricane season. How about that?
It all takes
USA, 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 USA.
What I opened with last week, you know, we have got to get a handle on this. And it's got to start. It should have started 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But there's no time like the present. Because it's not going to get better if we just sit on our asses and don't do anything.
Right. And you know, I hope the thing just... I mean, this is what I want. I want it for it to gin up and spin up, and I want the little high-pressure system that's sitting out in the middle of the North Atlantic right now to just stay parked right where it is, so it'll just go and never touch land, and maybe somebody will get a little bit of rain, and that'll be the end of it.
Or going to that place that they call the tornado deathbed, where it just spins on out, hooks a right into the Atlantic, and then that's doesn't bother anybody.
Yeah, I think there's a term for it. They called it I heard somebody call it a fish hurricane.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And unless you're a maritime sailor out there, then you really ain't got nothing to worry about.
But if you are, there's plenty to worry about. Right.
You get the hell out of the way. Double time, you know.
So, I mean, and that's, you know, that's on the radar well into next week. I mean, it's pretty far out right now, but it could take aim at Puerto Rico. Oh, Puerto Rico needs that.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not like Puerto Rico isn't already beaten halfway to hell, you know, by the hedge fund traders and the capitalists. Yep. Or, yeah. You know, if it hits Cuba will probably weather it better than most, because for some reason or another, they know how to respond to hurricanes. Beats the hell out of me. Why?
That's true. And why is it? You made a good point. Why don't they have these generators 30 foot up in the air somewhere? You know, why do they have them? You know, where
well,
they can
because,
get
because somebody in the accounting department said, you know,
That'll cost too much money.
That'll cost you a 16th. That'll cost you out there at the 16th decimal place on the penny. And it'll be tough on the shareholders.
God, why does everything always got to be about the money? You know, when they tell you it's not about the money, it's about the money.
Well, I mean, they don't have that chemical installation there because they're working for the, you know, the common weal.
You know, Bob, usually I try to do my homework and try to come up with a lot of topicality, but just... didn't have it today, man, simply because I woke up and got a memo. If you want your Monday off, make sure you work a double today. So, you know, why even have a holiday, man?
Hey, what's the, I mean, right, I didn't know that was part of the federal Monday holiday law. Everybody got to work a double on Friday, some bitch.
Well,
what about the people who want to make a long one out of it and bail out on Thursday and you see ya?
It's just that make sure you have everything caught up through Tuesday. They tried to word it nicely, but what are you going to do? You know, I did happen to dig something up. I don't know if you've seen this or not, about McCain took a dig at Trump and said basically, you know, we got to respect his constitutional responsibilities, but we're not one of his subordinates. It's an interesting article. See old Pappy fighting back.
Yeah, but see, I mean, maybe you see that as McCain fighting back. I don't, Steve, because it's all just blue smoke and mirrors. It's all smoke up the ass until one of them stands up and says, you know, he's got to go. He's got to be impeached. He's got to be removed from office, or we're toast. Until that happens, you can talk about how incompetent he is. You can talk about how he doesn't have the necessary skill set for the presidency, or isn't deploying presidential. But until you say he's got to go, I mean, it's like I don't know. It's like bet hedging or something. Or maybe, you know, okay, if we say this, maybe he'll finally take it seriously. You know, right, the dude is over 70 years old, and that's no, you know, that's no slur on septuagenarians. But as we noted on the program, all he is, Steve, is a great agglomeration of, I mean, every cell, every nucleus, every corpuscle, everything about him has one purpose. And that is avarice. That is, well, it's two things, actually. He's made of two things. He's made of avarice, and he's made of ego.
Probably two-thirds the latter.
Probably, I would say, yeah.
But, you know, I think me, you, and John has beat this impeachment thing to death, and we're pragmatists. We know where it stands.
I don't know that it's necessarily beaten to death, but... I would just, for the people who are out there saying, ooh, impeachment, 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 I'd like for somebody to explain to me how it's going to start. I mean, it's one thing to say, all right, if the Democrats take back the House, we can at least have the conversation. But I don't know, who's going to start it among the Republicans? And what is the thing that would be so odious that a Republican would give up would give up on Trump for it? Because I don't see it. I don't know.
What I think people have a hard time wrapping their head around is it's a political process. It's not a legal process. You know, it's even if you start throwing indictments left and right, Trump could legally, and that's what this last pardon with old Joe was about. He was sending out signals. I truly believe that.
And I saw a thing earlier today. I was just sort of, I don't know, it's Friday, so I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, every Friday.
but I saw that, you know, the question about the letter that Bob Mueller now has in his possession. You know about this, right?
No, sir. Please elaborate. Like I said, I've been knee-deep.
Well, it doesn't tell us exactly how, but the New York Times reports, they haven't seen it themselves, but Bob Mueller has gotten his hands on the original letter that Dolt 45 and a person described as a top political aide drafted back before he fired Comey. And the letter describes his rationale for getting rid of Comey. He was going to send him a letter, and then he didn't. And then he sent it, you remember all the bullshit that he machinations and the transparent crap.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
But he actually put all this stuff in writing about why he was going to dismiss Comey, and then was convinced not to send it. Now Mueller has it.
What's Trump's lawyer's name? Is it like Ty Cobb or something?
Well, there's Ty Cobb. There's McGahn.
They've already gotten a hold of inside of his head. They're already working on him, same look, which is, I didn't even know they could do that. They've already gotten a hold of him somehow and saying, look, this is not grounds for impeachment. And they're already trying to justify.
Oh, no, they've been writing memos. They've been writing memos to Bob Mueller. Saying that he shouldn't, trying to tell him what the scope of his investigatory purview is, and of course I'm not, but if I were Bob Mueller, I would be strongly tempted to say, go look at how narrowly Ken Starr construed his jurisdiction. Blow me.
Exactly. Or ethnically, shouldn't he just shred them? He shouldn't even look at them.
Who?
Mueller and the memos that he's getting from Ty Cobb and company.
Oh, no, because that shit's evidence, too.
Yeah, I guess so. There might be a smoking gun, quote-unquote, in there.
Oh, there might be a little arm-twisting going on.
Yeah.
In fact, there was one of the things that the letter was written about, the memo, that is, because Trump is absolutely shaken to his core over the PP dossier. So that's what the memo got written about. And at one point in time, the argument was made that that the dossier was libelous. And, of course, the inherent threat in there is that if Mueller did anything with it, that anybody who repeated it, Trump will sue you. He'll sue. He will. He really will. He'll sue.
Well, I don't want to sink the show down to bodily fluids like it sometimes digresses to. But the question does beg, if that PP tape surfaces, whatever, you know
Yes.
Do you think, in your humble opinion, that that would be enough for the House to finally say, okay, this is just beyond the pale.
No.
Let's get this
nope,
the ball.
I don't.
You don't
nope.
Even you don't think even that.
No, nope. If the PP,
I mean, even if it went viral and
no, if the PP tape got a billion views on YouTube and was on every network broadcast, of course Fox wouldn't show it.
They would deny it. They would say it was fake.
But if it was, if everybody saw it, it still wouldn't be enough to move these Republicans. Because among other things, remember they're constitutional originalists, Steve, and so consequently, there's nothing in the Constitution says that the president can't have a PP tape.
And they're living out Grover Norquist's wet dream. They want to shrink the government to the size of where it would fit in the bathtub, and all they need is a moron with a pen to sign anything they can put in front of them, and they've got that, and they've worked for this for 20
right.
plus
I mean,
years
you,
now.
You've seen Blazing yep. Saddles, right?
Sure.
Well, this Congress has the think of this Congress as Hedley Lamarr, Hedley, and think of Donald Trump as Governor LePetitmaine. Work, 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 work. Hello, boys. Did you miss me?
It's a great analogy, Bob.
Gentlemen, we've got to protect our phony baloney jobs.
See, I don't buy into that though, because Pence would advance their agenda all the same, probably even more so though. Don't you think?
And with less embarrassment. It's a good point.
No, I don't. I don't think so. Because Trump is extremely malleable. Pence, for as vile as he is, does have some working understanding of how the federal system is supposed to operate. And so he's not gonna provide the constant distractions that Geezer Disgustus does, John. And thereby, because, you know, this Congress gets away with a lot while we're over watching, you know, look, something orange and furry and scurrilous. And, of course, we're all just sitting around waiting now. We're due for an announcement, what, in about 6 minutes?
Oh, boy.
Wasn't that what was mentioned? We're due for an announcement in about 6 minutes or so. Regarding DACA and the Dreamers.
Oh, is he ending that?
It might be.
That is one cruel son of a bitch, man. And I hate to be disrespectful, but
no,
it
not.
Is what it is. That's just
it
cruel.
Is what it is.
Yep.
Well, but he's not. It's not just him who's cruel. It's a cruel country. And you got a cruel Congress that are elected by the majority of which has been elected by cruel people.
Amen.
And this is a constitutional crisis beyond probably anything in our nation's history. I know that's a mouthful, but But I'll say that it's up there with anything else that you could table.
I'd say so. Oh, and
what do you?
No, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
I was just going to ask John his thoughts on that.
Say that again, Steve.
I think this is a constitutional crisis comparable to anything that we've ever faced in our history. I was just wondering if you agreed with that.
I don't know if I – it is definitely a crisis for sure. And, yeah, it probably would constitute a – well, not no pun intended, but it probably would constitute a constitutional crisis. But I think it's even worse. I think what Trump is doing is causing very, very immense and long-term damage. And I'm not even just talking about just policies. He's degrading the moral infrastructure, and I'm using that phrase from Malloy talked about this the other night, where I guess half of his infrastructure advisory board, and who also has some cybersecurity experts on it, resigned. And one of the reasons that they cited was because they've noticed that what he's doing to the country by they said that he's undermining the moral infrastructure of the country, which he absolutely is. Morality is just completely degraded. Cultural, there's some cultural degradation. And, you know, you have, like, for example, Republicans, lawmakers, state legislators, subsequent to the election, when people were protesting Trump's election, like, they were introducing or they were proposing legislation in their respective states to make it legal for people to run over protesters. And guess what happened? A protester got ran over and killed. So those Republicans have blood on their hands. Nobody's talking about that, though. You know, there's some, you know, so yeah, to your question of my opinion, if this is a constitutional crisis, absolutely it's a constitutional crisis, but it's also a crisis in general.
I agree with you.
But that crisis has been in place, at least as far as I'm concerned, since January 20th.
Oh, before, ever since he's been running.
Can I get a word in?
Yeah, go, Senator Lamar.
Okay, I'm gonna put it like this: like everybody's talking, this particular situation with the running over of the protester is a backlash for Black Lives Matter. Because when not just Black Lives Matter, but the Dakota Indian situation is actually where they put that up for, because those people were stopping the progression of that pipeline. So they decided, let's run over protesters and we'll give you a blanket statement saying you guys are safe. Well, you know what? I'm like this. Beware of what you ask for, because you just might get what you wish. So next time the Klan walk out there, don't be surprised if somebody takes their car and runs to the Klan. And then guess what? If you prosecute that person, you got laws on the book saying he was a protester. Is he a protester or not a protester? That will be the question. That will be the question. Believe me, there are people out there who do not care for the Klan.
Well, the majority of people don't care for the Klan. I'd say the vast majority of people find them despicable, you know? So, yeah, you're right.
Well, you know, as like I say, I'm going to claim the – I'm going to be the token black of Bob's community, which I can't do, but I would love to have that.
Yeah, we got way too many for anybody to be token.
I got Tracy and Steve and several others, so I know I'm not the token. But I would just love. But you know what? Can I be the militant of the group? I'm like this. You were talking earlier, and see, here's the point. I want to backtrack just a little bit. The Republican Party has created this debacle that we live in. Their patron saint ran away and got up there and told his constituents, the worst you can hear from anybody coming to your door is, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." So if that's your mindset, when you have a disaster, you're butt fucked. Because who's going to come to the rescue? The government. You've been told not to trust the government. So how can the government help you when we the people, to form a more perfect union? Like you say, it was aspirational. You damn right it was aspirational. Because we have the ability to do that, but you have people who do not want that. That's the problem.
I think that's a fairly succinct statement. And you know, when John says that there's been a negative impact on morality, consider some of the stories. Consider the story from last night, Albuquerque, New Mexico. You know, you don't really think of Albuquerque, New Mexico as being a hot, or maybe it's just because I don't know anything about Albuquerque, but you don't think of it as being a hotbed of white supremacist racist activity. But guess what? It was a high school in Albuquerque where two kids have been suspended.
Oh, really?
Two kids have been suspended after photoshopping Klan hoods onto every white kid in class, except and leaving two African American females surrounded by a bunch of kids with Klan hoods photoshopped onto them, and posted it to the school's Snapchat account.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know what? This is where lack of education and lack of culture comes in, Bob. You have people out there who don't know anything about anybody else's culture.
Oh, no, when these little pukes got caught, they said, "Oh, we is only joking."
But see, that's the point. See, just like we go to, you have the right to say whatever you got. You have the First Amendment right to say what's on your mind. But you have to understand, with free speech comes a free ass whooping.
What? But hold on. In what universe? No, I mean, really. In what possible world does someone not understand that there is absolutely nothing funny about the Klan?
America?
Well, no, I mean, no, that's too glib, Lamar.
No, I'm being real, because right now, if you look at it, the rest of the world is scared shitless about us, but by letting the white supremacist and Nazi mentality individuals in government, like they've seen in Europe, Europe didn't forget. They didn't ever stop teaching about what Hitler did. And they're forming alliances right now. And Trump is so damn stupid, and he has put in people in his cabinet who are just as stupid as he is, because he doesn't want to be the dumbest individual in his group. He has
we could maybe replace stupid with racist, just as racist as he is.
I'm being nice, Bob. If you really want to get to the point, yes, we can go racist. They are seeing Europe, especially Germany. Germany and Russia see that Trump is taking us down the Nazi road to ruin. And Putin loves it because he defeated the Russians. His country defeated the Germans. He's looking forward to defeat America. And you and I both know America will not fall unless we kill it from within. And Trump is killing us from within.
Well, I want to break in on this. I just got a note from our buddy Robert up near Morgantown.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's not as interesting to some as it is to me. But, yeah, this is not good. Well, the Arkema plant is on fire again.
Well, I'm not. No,
Lamar, wait.
What?
I'm going to go to live coverage if I can.
Okay, shoot.
If I can get it to load. This is from Fox 26 KRIV Houston. Let me see if I can bring it up. Yeah, there's a giant fireball right now in Crosby, Texas. Of course, there's no one there fighting the fire. And CBS News reporting it does not pose a danger to the surrounding community.
That's a lie.
And there's a huge column, oh, probably 10, 15, 20 stories high, a huge column of absolutely impenetrable black smoke.
My question is this. What's in the smoke that's going to kill the population within 100 miles of that smoke?
Well, we don't know. I mean, if it's the same thing, if it's the hydrocarbon peroxides, they say, it's noxious, it's an irritant. But the point that I've been trying to make, that I hope people have gotten, is that when you get down to the ultra-fine level with particulates, when you get down to something below 100 microns in size, there is not a single substance on planet Earth that isn't toxic.
True. You know what? I'm like this. If it was up to me, I would introduce every American to a chlorine cloud, a baby chlorine cloud. Then they will understand what you cannot see.
See, but Lamar, you just missed the point. There are some substances that in and of themselves are toxic.
Yes, I agree with that.
That's what you just said.
Right.
Kind of like if chlorine, you open up the big barrel of chlorine that you use for
ammonia and chlorine. You
open up the big barrel that's got the chlorine in it that you scatter in the pool. And a kind of a cloud of the dust, and it'll take your breath away, okay? That's one thing.
Right.
I'm talking about particulates, okay? I'm talking about I'm talking about a particle 1/100th the diameter of a human hair, okay?
Okay, Bob, I get it, Bob.
And it doesn't matter if it's chlorine or gasoline or wood smoke. When a particulate is that small, there is nothing in the human body that can stop it. Okay, just by way of example, there's a substance, I believe it's called titanium white.
Yes.
And it's used in laboratories because it is so inert. And it's
correct.
You know all this?
I have a degree in mechanical engineering, Bob.
Okay, then titanium white, when it is reduced below the level, it won't hurt anybody. But when you get it down to an ultra fine level, it is absolutely toxic.
Yeah, but you also have to take in consideration the accumulation of that particulate in your system.
That's dosage. Yes, I'm well
I'm
aware.
I'm saying if we were to introduce the American people to a mild, I mean, to me, the chlorine cloud is the most mildest you can have, where they will choke and cry and their eyes water with just a tablespoon of it exposed. Now you sit there and you say you take something like this and you really minute. You give such a small dose over a particular time will kill you. You will get to their brains because most people do not understand and do not fear what may or may not happen. Because, see, I'm like this. I'm from the what if club. If it's going to kill you, if there's a what if that something may kill you, why take a chance on creating that situation if you don't have to? And I'm basically saying, if you know these chemicals, just like in your backyard, mountaintop removal, they know the dust is going to kill the people. But why is it that the media and everybody else will not allow that information to come out? just like cigarettes. They talk bad about cigarettes. Cigarettes, for you to contract cancer, it's going to require you to smoke cigarettes for a minimum of 20 years. Nobody talks about that. They say the way they portray cigarettes, oh, you smoke two cigarettes today, you got cancer tomorrow. That's bullshit. It's the accumulation of the toxics in those chemicals that will kill your ass. And that's basically where everything else is. Moderation is a bitch, Bob. I'm sorry. I wanted to get into something more sunshine about.
Oh, hey guys, can I just say two small things real quick and I'll butt out.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
It's a little off topic. I was listening to what everything you said, you know, and so I'm not trying to like say, oh, you know, change the subject. But I saw two articles today. One article, and I'm not sure if it's all true, but it alluded to Trump. The White House says it said that the headline said the White House is walking back his pledge for that $1 million, which is only 0.02. Well, Forbes has him scored at like $4 billion and some change, 4 point something billion as a net worth. If you whether or not you believe it or not, I don't. You know, for argument's sake, let's just say he's worth $4 billion. That $1 million is only 0.02% of his net worth if he's worth $4 billion. So just wanted to throw that out. But they said that I saw an article or a headline that said that they're walking that back. Go ahead, Lamar.
I was going to say, do you believe a snake oil salesman when every time he opens up his mouth?
Yeah, that's
dude
just
said. He said that he was going to donate X amount of dollars to the military veterans crew, which offended the shit out of me since I'm from a military family. My father served in Korea. So I'm like this. And I have cousins who served in Vietnam. I got lucky because Nixon killed the shit a month before I left. I had to go. So, but you know what? Trump is a carpet bagger. And I'm like this. I'm going to say this here. I've said it before. The Republican Party that's in there right now is the same Republican Party mindset that we had in the 1920s. And when we had the Great Depression and we removed, the Republicans took them 40-some years after the Great took them 40 years to get back into power. I want them to understand. I want the American people to understand. Some of us who were still living, remember what happened back then. I'm a tail-end baby boomer. My grandparents showed me how to live through a depression and a recession. My grandmother, for my mother, was born in 1901. I spent at least 20 years with her, and I've learned to do things. So it's not that I'm worried about it. I bestowed all the knowledge that I have to my kids. My kids know how to survive. That's where America is dying at. Like you said once before, the nuclear family, Bob, that is a severance from the present to the past. Because the nuclear family, I was part of it for a few minutes, then I realized there's more stupid people having children than us people who are intelligent. So I decided to have 5 kids of my own to combat the dumb son of bitches who are having 6. I hate to put it like that. But, I mean, it is a game of survival. And all these Trump pansies, you call them, Bob?
Trump pansies,
If you ever listen to these people, they think this is a game. But see, unfortunately for them, life is a game. But it's a game of do or die. If you don't play the game right, you die. It's just that simple. People call up your show like Brain. When he was on there, he was sitting there talking all this crap about he's living in Florida and all this, that,
Brain,
and this.
Brain never got on the air, dude.
No, I'm in the chat room where he was typing.
Yeah, okay.
And I like I say, Brother Steve saved me from ripping him a new asshole one night. So
didn't he say something, Steve, racist? I heard it. Somebody mentioned that he said something freaking racist. Because on the chat room, Brain. Brain was
off the chain. I wanted to, like,
oh,
I say,
saying,
been...
yeah, let's not talk about him.
No.
Okay.
On the odd chance that the little turd's listening, let's not give him any free publicity.
Well, if he wants publicity, okay, I'm having a speech impediment moment. If he wants the glory, I got to do a Porky Pig. If he wants the glory that he thinks he's going to get, he's going to be really short.
See, we're still talking about him, and I said, let's not talk about him.
Okay, let's get back to his leader, Trump.
Well, can I just say my other thing I want to say real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
I also saw that, did you hear about what Dianne Feinstein said? And Lamar, this is your neck of the woods. What Dianne Feinstein said was that she hopes Trump will change and that she thinks that he might be a good president.
And along the way, she also said we need to be patient with him, did she not?
He's going to grow up.
You know what? No, here's the thing. Here's the thing what she's saying, and I agree with her. He's going to be a good president for the Democrats. You want to know why? Because he's going to make sure that the Republican rhetoric will never be listened to forever. And case point right now. They are the party of law and order, right? They claim to be Christian and law and order. With Trump and everything they've done lately, that's bullshit.
Except for corporations.
Hey, Clarity.
Yeah. See,
hi.
Hey, Clarity, how you doing?
Jump in.
Anticipation. We're waiting to learn just what's going to burn and blow up.
Yeah.
Are you sure that's anticipation or constipation?
Yeah. Well, what you talked about a minute ago, you know, we have the dichotomy of calculated risk, which is how they set up the insurance tables, versus precautionary risk, which anybody that wants to see more than 3 months in advance plans for their seven generations, you know. And that's what California's trying to do, is to set up laws on the precautionary principle that, you know, okay, this stuff, it's not as valuable as you say it is, because if it spills, blows up, blah, 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 and you don't want to put the controls on it to make it so that people can live in that neighborhood, then we're not going to allow it.
Well, as me being a Californian, we are the what-if state. What if it does happen as you claim it won't happen? We'd rather be prepared and spend the money for something that didn't happen than not spend the money and let the shit happen. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, and the Republican Red Southeast, they all live on the principle that, you know, we'll cut taxes and everything, and when the disaster comes, we'll stand out there with our sad faces and tell the government that we need $150 billion right now because Katrina got $125 and Texas is much bigger. So, you know, just start writing those checks for hundreds of billions of dollars.
And understand, Clarity, when it comes time for the, and they say it's going to be considered later this month, at least the first round of Harvey relief. And by the way, if you're not talking, please mute your microphone. And what's not going to happen, the Harvey relief will be voted on, and it will be generously provided. And people are not going to behave like Ted Cruz behaved. And all but one of the Texas delegation behaved when the relief bills came up for Sandy. And
I agree with you on that.
Lamar, hold on. I'm talking.
Yeah.
Clarity's got the floor.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, but it's kind of a shame, isn't it, Clarity? Because at some point in time, don't these thugs, and that's what they are legislative thugs, need to be called to account?
Absolutely. And back to what you were talking about, where they put the generators. You know, they it's cheaper to put in a gravity feed for the fuel. So they put the fuel up high. They put the diesel generators on the ground. And, you know, once the water gets so deep, the generators won't work. But, you know, the fuel is fail-safe. You know, the fuel's going to keep coming. It's like, oh, yeah, you fixed the problem. You've got backup, but your backup won't work if it's 6 foot deep. You know, and we didn't anticipate there'd be 6 feet of water here.
And nope. That's just a lie. It's just a lie.
It's a calculated lie.
Sure it is, but that doesn't make it less of a lie. You're 25.
Bob.
Hold on, Lamar. Hold on, Lamar. You've talked a lot, Lamar. Hold on. This plant is 25 miles northeast of Houston. And I'm not aware of any mountains 25 miles northeast of Houston. Are you, Clarity?
No, it's a floodplain.
It's still a floodplain, right.
Yep.
And for anyone to say that they couldn't anticipate, you know, again, with all that knowledge of what climate change is doing, and with the knowledge of what, oh, how about if we just factor climate change right out of it, but what about with all the knowledge of what Katrina did? Or even if it's not a hurricane, what about all the flooding that came in that torrential rain in South Carolina a couple of years back?
Well, and historically, you know, the Galveston flood that happened in, 1910 or 1909, you know, they rebuilt from that. But, you know, it was basically just a storm, you know, a storm tide that came at the same time. And that's what happened this time. The tides peaked when the hurricane came in. You know, so things all merged together. It was, quote unquote, the perfect storm, but it still wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, and that one, in the Galveston storm in the early 20th century, didn't that kill people in over 10,000 or something?
Oh, it was huge. It was huge, and it completely wiped out all of the port there. They had to start over from scratch. But it's, you know, it's the same topography.
I suppose there will be. So the copy I've seen says the Environmental Protection Agency will investigate. Yeah, and who runs the Environmental Protection Agency? The same guy that runs the environmental. The same guy that's going to be in charge of the investigation is the guy who helped suppress the rules that might have gone a long way toward minimizing some of this.
The frack lover Pruitt, right?
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely. We haven't heard from Scott. Hey, Scott. Thanks for and by the way, Scott, thanks for helping out this evening. And just as a general reminder, we need to raise $170 this evening, and we're still at need to raise $170 this evening.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'm so grateful that I'm in a position finally after low these many months to do it. And, you know, grid willing and the creek doesn't rise will continue on a month-to-month basis. I don't know if you looked in the chat for the horn chat, but the Skype chat. Earlier today, I'm sitting here minding my own business, and I look over, and Punky is sitting on the little drawbridge entrance to his cage, looking up at the TV, which has got MSNBC on, and he's looking at it like his life depends on the information, sitting there getting those liberal talking points. And normally, when he hears me going for the camera, he'll just cool out and act all nonchalant. But fortunately, I was able to be stealthy, and I caught him, and I posted a little photo in the Skype chat for your edification.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, he's just sitting there taking it all in.
Oh, yeah, he was just, you know, I almost was tempted to do a quiz on what the topic was to find out his retention level. But anyway, The thing about the Republicans, you've always got to remember, and it hasn't always been true, they actually used to be able to get stuff done until the age of Newt Gingrich and Grover Norquist and
Reagan.
You know, Reagan, you know. Well, once upon a time, they were conservative, but they were conservative in a responsible manner. They were true to their principles, but they didn't let that interfere with getting shit done that needed doing, okay? But the thing that you've got to remember with this new version of so-called conservatism, they are like children, little unattended children. I've never been a parent, but I've been a kid. And my mother used to say all the time, I always knew that they were up to no good when it got quiet, okay? So it's good never to be quiet, but you've got to keep them on some kind of leash to the extent that that's possible, because as long as they think that they're able to get away with this crap, they will do it. And never mind the fact that they'll overplay their hand and be in the political wilderness and out of power for 20 or 25 or 30 years, like Lamar was saying.
40
years. They will always take it beyond the limit, okay? If they think they can get away with it, and then it falls to the Democrats, as usual, to clean up the mess. And they will even be obstinate and assholes as we're trying to undo some of the damage that they've done. It's a never-failing principle of life. You can count on it.
Can I respond to what Scott just said?
Go ahead.
Me and Scott from the same cloth. We are Americans first, political party second, and our religion is whatever we want it to be. And I agree with him. I remember the days when the Republicans were all about America first, and they did everything, regardless of as much as they hated abortion, they allowed it. They put in the Hyde Act. A Republican and Democrat put in the Hyatt Act that says no government money shall be allocated for abortion. What did Reagan do? He come in and he ignored that and said that all this stuff is bullshit. And like Scott was saying,
Lamar, I think you're conflating two different things.
There's
the Hyde Amendment, which prevents federal government funds from being used for abortion, and then there's the other act that he ignored in order to funnel money to the Contras.
I know he funneled the money to the Contras because I am a victim of the areas. I'm in South Central. Well, I'm on the edge of South Central. I know what Reagan did with the Contra. But the point is, you and I can both agree on one thing. Federal government funding does not go to abortion. So why do they keep bringing it up?
Well, they use those opportunities, those tried and true evergreens, those old chestnuts, these organizations in their mailings and in their fundraising. It's a never-ending source for money for them, and that's what keeps them going. I mean, there could be a situation. I mean, I forget the name of the so-called minister that Bob was playing the audio from the other day.
Dobbin? Are you talking about Dave Dobbinmeyer?
Yeah, Dobbin Gray.
I guess that's his name. But he was going on about how the wrath of God has fallen upon Houston, blah, 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 blah. And how long ago was it? It's been a year and a half, 2 years almost, since marriage equality occurred. If you get on any of these conservative mailing lists, especially these dark groups, they're still beating that drum as if marriage equality never happened. And in fact, they try to undo any progress that gets done.
It's the
most amazing thing to watch, simply because it's like, what was it that Mark Twain said? Always do right. It will gratify some and astonish the rest. And I wish the Republicans should read up on their Mark Twain, at least that little passage.
Well, look at Matt Staver. I played audio from him the other night, Scott. Now yeah. this is the guy who runs that tax-free grift called Liberty Council that provides free lawyers to anybody who says they don't want the homosexuals to be able to get married. Okay.
He was the guy that funded the county clerk down in Kentucky.
Yeah, he is Sister Clerk Kim Davis's very own little lawyer for Jesus. Now that guy went on the air and said that he compared himself to Jews being persecuted by Nazis. He said Christians are being persecuted in this country just like Jews were persecuted by Nazis. I mean, he said that. And this guy, if he started spending his tax-free grifts money tomorrow, he could not spend it all in the remainder of his lifetime, and he would never have to spend a penny of it from behind bars. But he can, but he can just say this crap, and he is he's mendacious, and well, what we say around here, the truth ain't in him. But my God. And you know, add into that, I guess we're just kind of reviewing what happened over the course of the week. Add into that the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know how many there are now, Christians calling for civil war.
Mm-hmm. There was some, wasn't it a Missouri state government person who recently said that some people should be hanged?
Yeah, that's a classic case in point, because on the one hand, you had an African-American legislator who had previously said she got rather upset, and she said that she hoped that Donald Trump was, you know, and I won't even say the word because I don't want...
Say it, Bob.
No, I won't even say the word because I don't want to talk to any... humorless people in with skinny black ties who talk to their shoes and their wrists. But she said that she said that she hoped he was. And immediately, from all quadrants of the political world in Missouri, people were, God damn it, she needs to resign. She's got to resign immediately. How dare she say something like that? Now, along comes this white Republican legislator who said that he hopes that people who vandalized some Confederate bullshit, he said, I hope they hang them from a really tall tree.
Yeah.
Now, there was no call for him to resign. It took the Republicans who jumped out and called for the woman to resign almost before the words were off of her fingertips and into the computer. Well, it took a day or more to get them to even say anything about their colleague who had just called for people to be lynched. The double standard is so obvious you can probably see it from space in these cases, Scott.
That's true.
And just a quick final thought, and then I'll let somebody else talk. Just to look at it from a slightly different viewpoint or angle and go down a level, these people... You know, there's a verse in the Bible supposedly knocking lesbianism where St. Paul writes, and God gave them up. Well, that's bullshit, and it's another story altogether. But I'm of the opinion that there are very few examples where I don't believe this. Most straight-thinking people just need to give them up, let them chatter on. Because the people that I feel sorry for are the people that may be reachable, the people that kind of sort of believe this crap, or they buy into it because they don't know any better and don't know any different. These are the people who are not sold out to what these nut buckets are up to. They are reachable, and that's where our attention ought to be, and that's where the Democrats just drop the ball. Not to relitigate the 2016 election, but we dropped the ball because those were the people who ultimately made the difference in the outcome and were eminently reachable, a lot of them. But the candidate was flawed. The candidate didn't have a game plan. She was surrounded by people who did more in the way of being technical words than actually laying out a plan, following through on it, and by plan, I mean something tried and true that has shown positive results in the past. Everybody wants to be smarter than the system or reality, some of these campaign movers and shakers. The basic fundamentals of winning an election have never really changed when you get right down to it. And rather than being sidetracked, which is what Trump is up to, that's his mission in life, is to sidetrack us, okay? And to get us all running off in 1,800 different directions. And when we're doing that, we're not being about the Lord's business, so to speak. So the people that I feel the worst for are the people that actually don't fully buy into what this crap that these people are pushing. They're eminently reachable, yet we're very busy with our hair on fire going batshit crazy when, I'm not saying don't pay attention to what's going on. I'm just saying that it's good to focus every now and again. So that'll be my little epistle for the night.
No, Scott, before you go, I got a question for you.
Okay.
We've been kicking around impeachment left and right. Do you think, in your never-to-be-humble opinion, that there's any chance that this guy will be impeached, even if a PP tape surfaces? And I hate to go there, but that's the worst-case scenario that I could think for Trump. Because the consensus is no.
Scott, may I
wait,
before
Lamar,
you ask
that? Lamar, he asked Scott.
I understand.
I don't know, Steve. It's like, what's that Chinese proverb? I'd rather have one dragon that I know than 10 dragons that I don't know. Yeah. There's something strangely comforting, as weird as that sounds, to have Trump precisely where he is. Because, it's that old thing, give them enough rope, and the people talking into their wrists can hopefully read between the lines and see that I'm perfectly harmless, like an old puffball under the bed. If you give them enough rope, they will inevitably trip themselves up. And I think that's what Trump will ultimately do. There'll come a time, given enough rope, where he will fuck it up to a fare-thee-well. And even some people who are marginally supportive, some of those who crossed over, who had voted for Obama in 12 and even 08, who ended up voting for Trump, okay, we'll see the error of their ways in that one-question intelligence test, okay? And we'll try to make amends and do better given another chance. The hardcore crazies, I've pretty much given them up. But it's the influenceables who will see what is really going on and will behave accordingly, I hope.
But the overall consensus is, see, what people don't understand, it's a political process. It's not a legal process. And I don't think that's what a lot of people that are on this impeachment bandwagon, they can't wrap their heads around that.
Well, and the other thing, too, is the people whose business it would be to get the judiciary together. Bob was mentioning them one by one, the members of the judiciary.
And they are some of the worst right-wing tools out there, exactly.
But
you've
got to remember that left, right, or center, to the extent that a center exists in our government, left, right, or center, politicians, their prime mission, their prime directive in life is to get elected, and once elected, to stay in office. And it's like the rainy afternoon when the car is speeding down the road and splashes you while you're standing there waiting for the bus. The last thing they want to do is get any of it on them as a result of staying too close to Trump. And there will be some, not all, but there will be some in places of responsibility and power who will heed their prime directive and say, wait a minute, enough is enough. This guy is off the twig. And if he goes down, he's going to take us with him. and we can't have that. That's what I'm hoping anyway.
Well, hey, we are rapidly running out of time. We got 20 minutes left in the program this evening. Let me extend thanks to Juanita. Thank you very kindly, Juanita, for taking us down to 1:45 to go for Bruce's memorial challenge. I sincerely appreciate it. We all do. And hopefully in the next 20 minutes, we'll figure out a way to get the other 145 through the door so the matching challenge will work out. Laurel just jumped into the conversation. Hey, Laurel.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
It's going. What's happening?
Oh, all right. Yeah, while everybody's talking about it, I've been kind of just stuck staring at this one picture for the last couple hours.
Well, I have to give you at least a minor cowbell for a remark I saw from you earlier where you said Trump has declared a national day of prayer for Houston. Right now, people in Houston are praying for toilet paper.
Yeah,
and that's the damn truth. I mean, it's not funny. There's a certain, but it's the truth. You know, the people of Houston, and I guess this is just the non-believer perspective. The people affected by this hurricane need a hell of a lot less prayer. Well, they need some Book of James stuff. You know, where it says faith without works is dead. They need the works and not the faith.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, I'm a little shaken up. Like I said, I've got this picture up. And have you ever seen? Gosh.
Okay. Yeah.
You remember?
This might be a little bit off for most people, but
have you ever seen the TV version of Stephen King's The Stand, where the general is like staring at these control screens of where the bugs got out and killed everybody, and he's staring at this one picture of one of the scientists
Laurel, let me interrupt for just a minute. Is that noise? No, that noise is not coming from you. Lamar, you need to mute. Okay.
I think it's Lamar, Bob.
Yeah, Lamar, mute. Nope.
Hello?
Okay, go ahead, Laurel.
Yeah, there's this scene in The Stand where one of the generals is just staring into the lab where all the people had died from the bugs that got out. And he's staring at this scientist where he's dropped dead right in the face of pasta or whatever he was eating, and he just couldn't stop staring at it, and eventually it drove him nuts. Well, I'm right now, I got this picture up, and I just can't take my eyes off it. There's this man standing waist-deep in floodwaters in Nepal, and he's floating his dead nephew, who doesn't look to be more than about 5 years of age, down the river outside some village in Nepal because the family literally could not find any dry land to bury him. And I literally can't take my eyes off the face of that child.
Understandable.
And this is something that is happening. The monsoon season they're having is the worst they've seen in decades. It's devastating all the way from Pakistan to Bangladesh.
And the worst monsoon season they've seen in decades will be eclipsed in 5, 10, 15 years because it's only going to get worse.
And the thing is, I'm stuck here staring at the face of one child. I can't even conceive of the billions that are suffering from this. It's hard to talk about numbers that are huge, or you know, the 50 inches or trillions of gallons of water. But my God, I can't stop staring at that child's face.
Well, do you remember the Katrina the Katrina photo of the person floating face down in those filthy waters?
Yeah.
And the death toll in Bangladesh, you know, lest we forget, is somewhere north of 1,200 human beings. That's a horror that's gonna be hard to come back from. Well, I mean, and you know, it's Bangladesh, so you know, there's not going to be any national day of prayer for Bangladesh declared by Donald Trump. And this, and look, the deaths from Harvey are at the last I read, 39 now.
I saw a number of 47 on CNN, and I saw them interview Richard Renault on CNN just a few moments ago, too. And yeah, that guy's seen some rough days in middle school, I guarantee it. But yeah.
Oh, you mean Richard Renard?
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like the guy who struggled a bit in school.
and again, that thing just, you know, just in the last hour and a half blew up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, it just seems to be a bit much to try and digest all at once, you know. I don't really, you know, God, how do you contemplate a global disaster? Because this is what's happening. How do you even put that on, you know, how do you even wrap your head around it?
In some ways, it exceeds what the human mind is capable of conceptualizing. And it goes back to that really, really nasty, and I forget if it's attributed to some Nazi or to Stalin, who said 20 dead people is a tragedy, 20,000 is a statistic. And, you know, the only way you can try to come up with any way to begin to empathize on a level like that is to, you know, imagine 1,200 people gathered together. Joel Osteen's basketball church holds 17,000 people. So I guess maybe one section of Joel Osteen's basketball church just disappears. That's what's going on in Asia.
And wow.
I
go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah, go Lamar.
No, finish your thought, Bob.
No, go ahead.
I was going to do a Star Trek reference. One outweighs the many. That is what you're talking about. And to answer the gentleman's statement, when the world population understands that we're all here together as one, if one doesn't succeed, we all fail. We will not go forward as a race of humans. I'm not saying black, white, or whatever. I'm saying human being. So if the one outweighs the many of the few or the many, we have issues. The Republicans have to take care of that thought as well as the world. It sure is, Bob.
Okay, and I just got a note in from, I just saw it. Jules asked me to add her to the group. So we'll see if she's still there. I just saw that a minute
Come
ago.
On, Jules.
well, on a happier note, I did post something up on your Facebook page, Bob. There's a new statue that's been erected in South Dakota that is absolutely stunning. A gentleman named Dale Lamphere. built a statue of an Indian woman, Native American woman, holding a quilt, and this thing is massive, and it's stunning. It's like 50 feet tall. It overlooks the Missouri River on the bluffs outside at Chamberlain, South Dakota, and it's just beautiful. Like I said, I posted a picture up on Bob's Facebook page, and if you want to take a look at it, it's quite stunning. It's quite stunning.
Yeah, so and maybe post it on the Horn page too. Hey, thank you to Steve and Ms. Karen and Little Cletus and Little Twiggy. We're down to 1:35 to go. Thank you. Thank y'all very kindly to meet Bruce's Memorial Shirley Challenge. Thank you.
Bob.
Jules, I just got you in here. Jules, go. Jules? Maybe you were muted. You're connected.
Come on, Jules.
Come on, Jules.
Come on, Jules. We want to hear you, girl.
Well, okay.
Can I put a question on the floor?
Sure.
Who was Pocahontas' husband?
John Rolfe.
Was he Indian descent?
No, he was an Englishman.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be going into history that Americans don't know. I'm sorry. I'll just mute myself now.
What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is how they portray everybody else, but they wanted to whitewash the other people who are involved in the American experience. Put it that way. Pocahontas, like Trump likes to call Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas.
Right.
He doesn't even understand who Pocahontas was. He doesn't understand how he offends blacks and Indians who are mixed about Pocahontas.
Oh, I think I don't think he lacks understanding. I think he just doesn't care.
I give you that too, Bob. So, I don't want to get into the racism. You run it, Bob.
I'm just trying to figure out how we got to Pocahontas from. I got it. Laurel was talking about the sculpture. Okay, I got it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Jules, are you there? Okay, maybe not. Further good news. Asa, with simply a note, God damn it. Yes, so we're down to 100. We're halfway there on Bruce's Memorial Wisconsin Challenge. Thank you, everyone. Thank you very kindly. I did want to update real quick. At one point, it was expected that the Tangerine Tiberius was going to say something about the Dreamers today. Apparently, that has been pushed out to Tuesday. So we'll let people who are worried to death about whether or not they're going to be allowed to stay in the United States sweat it. You know, young people who don't know anything about anywhere except the United States, because it's all they've ever known. And we'll let them sweat through the holiday weekend. You know, don't ever say that Trump's not a humanitarian. Having been asked about the Dreamers, he said, "We love the Dreamers. We love everybody. I think the Dreamers are terrific." This, of course, is Trump speak for, "I'm going to screw them." So you're here now, Jules, right?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I thought my headset was hooked up, and it wasn't hooked up, so I had to go to the phone section. I wanted to pass on a PSA is what I wanted to do. So, but it was totally not on topic to anything that you guys were talking about. If I could just...
That's okay. We just talked about Pocahontas, so go.
Yeah, so I'll just make this really quick. This has to do with a little incident that I had this week. Actually, it was yesterday. With a situation that happened, I was getting out of, I had gone to um, a a big box, you know, home improvement store yesterday and to get some stuff. Got out of my vehicle, and as I was getting out of my vehicle, this woman was getting into hers, and she, like, totally started freaking out. She came running around to the passenger side, yelling at her kid to open up the door, and I was like, you know, can I help? You know, what's wrong? And she just steps away from the door. I look inside, and there's this puppy, a German Shepherd, or not German Shepherd, a Husky puppy in there, and it's all tangled up in a car restraint, you know, one of these canine car restraints. She had left the dog in there with this canine seatbelt on, and it had gotten tangled up in it, put one of its paws up through the harness part, and had strangled itself. I got it untangled, got it in. I had a rented van because I rented a van to come down here or to go down to Tennessee, and got it out, did CPR on it, after going into the, at the end of the, third set of compressions and breaths, it finally started breathing on its own. We got it to the emergency vet and stuff and, you know, got it checked out, and it was finally getting stable. Just wanted to let folks know it's, you know, if you are going to use those types of devices, which they can be very helpful, it's probably advisable not to leave an animal restrained in a vehicle if you leave them in the vehicle, which is probably not advisable either. Even if it's cooler out, don't leave your animal restrained in a vehicle like that, please. And please make sure that you know, like, basic CPR, basic first aid, and that type of thing for your friends, because it's really important that you know these things if you're going to have pets and whatnot. But please don't leave an animal restrained in a vehicle. They can really hurt themselves. It turns out that her son has a mild case of Asperger's, and he was really had really become attached to the puppy, and in the short time that they had it, and had really started coming out of a shell of it. It teenage son, actually, and it would have been really tragic for them to have lost the pup. So, it just was a really sad situation, but just, you know, one of those things. Kind of was upsetting that it happened at all, but I hope that folks, you know, kind of might have might gain some.
Never thought about that. I'm glad you mentioned it, Jules. Very glad indeed, and I hope you are you home now?
I stopped in Indy to visit with some friends, and I was getting ready to head out. So,
all right. Yeah, well, safe travels to you. We've got to wrap things up here. Thanks, as usual, to the Front Porch Gang this evening. Thank you very kindly. We have to end early, just so that I can get everything turned around. I'll be filling in for Malloy at about 9 o'clock. A gentle reminder: if you want to listen to that, please. I'll keep the stream up and running, but please listen on the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn, okay? That's very, very helpful. So take care. Have a wonderful holiday weekend. Again, this program will be live Monday evening, and I look forward to it. And thanks to everybody for jumping in and helping out this evening, and thanks to the overnight crew. And we'll wrap up with $100 to go on the first of the month, Shirley's Wisconsin Memorial Challenge. Thanks very kindly. Have a wonderful weekend again, as I noted. And, we'll probably be jawing again here in about, an hour or so. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly, Steve from Georgistan, in the chat room. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, Coal River Mountain Watch, on Facebook, at Coal River MTN Mountain, at Coal River MTN on Twitter. And of course, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all. Back in a little bit.